Well, a very good day and welcome to a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel, and we're going to be turning to John chapter 15 today and looking at the illustration Jesus himself gave us of the true vine and the branches. Before we do that, let's go to him in prayer. Our Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunities that it brings to us. Be our strength for today, Father. Be our strength and live in us and live through us, Jesus, to do you the Father's work. May your will be done, Father, today in us and through us, as your will is done in heaven perfectly. Father, thank you for every blessing. Thank you for your love and your care and your keeping, and for the home that is prepared for us, and especially for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Father, today as we open your word that you gave to us, may you be blessed in the reading of it. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you work in me and work through me and speak through me today, that the words that I speak will not be my own words, but they will be yours, that you speak in me and through me for all of us to hear, to the glory of God our Father and to our good. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn to John chapter 15, and we will continue today with our message on the fruit that is born in us as branches that are in the true vine. Let's read the material, the first seven verses, and then we'll begin our discussion of it. In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking, and he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman, or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." Concluding the first seven verses of John chapter 15. Remember that Jesus is speaking this to his disciples sometime in the evening before his crucifixion the following morning. I believe this was spoken probably in the upper room before they left it to go out into the streets of Jerusalem and to cross the brook Kidron and start up the side of the Mount of Olives and turn right into the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed in agony three times to the Father that night and then was arrested around 1 a.m., we think, in the morning there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, Jesus teaches here about the true vine and the branches. And he says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and you are the branches." He gives us three things to see here. First of all, he is the true vine. And, of course, he is rooted and grounded in the Father, in the good soil, so to speak. We are the branches. And, of course, for a branch to be productive, it must be attached to the vine. Now, we're talking about the vine, the grapevine, for example. Jesus is using the illustration of the vineyard. And in this, he uses several of the appropriate terms for the vineyard. For example, the Father, God the Father, is the vine dresser. Now, God the Father is the one who prunes, the one who cleans, the one who keeps out the weeds, the one who fertilizes, the one who takes care of the vine. And then the vine bears the branches, and it's on the branches that the fruit is born. Now keep in mind that the vine itself does not bear the fruit, not on the vine. It is on the branches of the vine. Now keep in mind, too, that the fruit is not the leaves. The fruit are the grapes. Now, a vine left to itself will bear many, many branches and many, many leaves, and very little fruit. Therefore, a vine must be pruned. In fact, when I look at a vine that has been pruned properly to bear grapes for the following season, I look at it and I think, my goodness, it's been cut back to the point where there's hardly anything left. But that is the way that the vine will then bear a lot of good fruit on those branches the following season. I'm thinking of our apple tree in our backyard this year. This year, no one really tended it. Just no one got around to doing it. So it was left to its own devices. And this little apple tree has branches everywhere. It's as thick as it can be. And it had apples on it that were numerous. It just had loads of apples on it. But it had so many apples on it and so many branches on it that none of the apples got to any size at all. So they were small and knotty and just not good apples. They were hardly any of them that were good for food. But, you know, back in the spring, back in the summer, that tree looked like it was full bloom, you know, and full dense branches, a lot of smaller branches. It was full of bloom, and then suddenly little tiny apples were coming out on those branches, and it held much promise, so it seemed. It was full of fruit. But then later, as that fruit began to grow, the leaves and the limbs were so numerous, and the little apples were so numerous that as they began to grow, they began heavy. They became heavy on that limb. And many of the limbs were broken because it hadn't been pruned and were so full of small fruit, and yet all that large number resulted in a heaviness on the branch that caused it to break. So as a result, the tree, not being taken care of, was very dense in branches, very dense in leaves, very dense in little small knotty apples, but really did not produce any usable fruit at the end of the season. Why? Because it was not properly cared for. It was not properly pruned. It was perhaps not properly fertilized. That's the job of the gardener. That's the job of God, as Jesus says. Now, God is the gardener, the one who is tending to the vineyard. And Jesus is the true vine, and you and I, as children of God, are pictured by Jesus as branches in the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Now notice this is in the vine. It's not of the vine. It's not from the vine. It is in the vine. And Jesus says, be sure that you abide in me. If you abide in me, then you'll bear much fruit, he said. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now we need to know that. We need to understand that. I believe that is a principle that's not clearly understood or practiced in our world today and in our churches today. that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Now, let's pause and look at this just a moment. I believe that we can do many things that, looked at from the point of view of the world, seem to be good, seem to be wonderful. How many times have you heard of a man's life or a woman's life, especially when they are deceased? Oh, what a good man he was, or good woman she was. How many good things they did. Just look at all the good deeds that they did. Well, listen, dear friend, Jesus spoke of those kind of people as being possibly in the group of those that would say to him on that final day of judgment, "Have we not done wonderful deeds in thy name, cast out demons in thy name, done many miracles in thy name?" And Jesus will say to them, "Depart from me, you who work iniquity, I never knew you." In other words, they weren't in the vine. They weren't bearing true fruit. Oh, they were doing a lot of things. But as James says, they were doing them for the wrong reasons, so that they might consume them upon themselves. You know, it's hard to know the motives of an individual. Sometimes those motives will make themselves manifest. If you look closely at a man's life, you may see those motives. You may see that pride sticking out somewhere when you least expect to see it. You may see that motive of selfishness. I want my own fame. I want to feel important. I want to get recognition. I want my name above this building. I want to have my name engraved as a contributor to the church. I want this pew to have a plaque on it that bears my name. I want this new section of the building to be named after me. Now, those are prideful things, my friend, and they are reasons that are not godly. They're motives that are not godly. James says that we ask and do not receive because we ask with the wrong motive, and that is that we may consume it upon ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 points out that God enables us to get wealth. God blesses us and multiplies what we have in order that we may have to give to others and to be a blessing to others. That's God's purpose. Now, James points out that if our motive is to get this in order to consume it upon ourselves, or just to have it for prideful reasons, or to keep up with the Joneses, then that's the wrong motivation, and God will not bless it. He points out, in fact, that that is the reward that this individual has. I sometimes look at individuals that are my age, for example, that I've been associated with and have grown up with and had careers with, and many of them seem to, as they get older, want to build a wonderful, big, fine house. And it's a 15-room thing with 7 or 8 bathrooms, you know, and in the most prestigious community. What's the purpose of it? The family is grown and gone. There's only 2 people, a man and his wife. And yet they're building a home with 7 or 8 bedrooms and 7 or 8 bathrooms and swimming pools and everything else. And if they're like me today, they're not going to get in the pool very much. They can't do it very easily. You know, we do these things because of pride. We do these things in order to demonstrate our success, to satisfy our own selfish desires. And that's wrong, my friend. That's not the right motivation. God does not honor that. As James says, when we ask and do not receive, we need to understand that we do not receive because we ask amiss, he says. We ask for the wrong reasons, the wrong motives. You see, the fruit that is born on a fruit tree is not for the consumption of the tree itself. It's for blessing of others. Others come and gather the fruit and eat of it and enjoy that fruit, or are blessed by that fruit. It's not necessarily a blessing to the tree or to the vine that grew the grapes. It's a blessing to others. It's a blessing to those who pick the fruit and enjoy the fruit and are nourished by the fruit. Now, let's look at this example that Jesus gives us. He says, I am the true vine, and you are the branches. He makes it very clear, and he says, you can't bear fruit unless you are in me. You abide in me. You stay in me. And then he speaks of the Father as being the vine dresser, the one who prunes, the one who takes care of, the one who fertilizes, the one who cleans. In fact, in verse 2, after saying, my Father is the vine dresser or the gardener, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. Now, there are those who look at verse 2 and explain it in this way. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, that can be interpreted, I'm told, from the Greek, he takes away as he lifts up rather than he takes away. Now, verse 3 may lend some credibility to that kind of interpretation. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Now, that's verse 3. And in verse 2, he speaks of the Father lifting up or taking away the branch. If it is lifting up, if that is correct interpretation, then in the terminology of the vine dresser, in the terminology of the vineyard, what they're talking about is lifting it up off of the ground and cleaning it, and lifting it up into the air, off of the ground, so that it will not get dirty or not be dirty, not be absorbed in the dirt, and will be clean and will be able to then begin to bear fruit, to produce. Now, he says to the disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So this does lend some credibility, I think, to this interpretation that verse 2 is speaking of the vine dresser lifting up the vine out of the dirt and lifting it up and perhaps even tying it up so that it is up off of the ground where it won't rot and where it won't get dirty. In other words, up in the air where it can begin to bear some fruit. So that may be the case. Or others, of course, give it the interpretation that it seems to have here, and that is he takes that branch away. Now, of course, down in verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this speaks, I think, of those branches that are not producing the fruit and not abiding in Jesus Christ. It speaks of the Christian that's a worldly Christian, if you will. And Jesus speaks of those as being gathered and cast into the fire and burned. In other words, it speaks of physical death of such an individual. If they're not going to be productive, then why should they stay here? If they're not going to be productive, why should they be left here? That perhaps is the reasoning here. But let's look at this a little more closely. Father God is the vine dresser. Now his job is to take care of, to clean, to prune, to fertilize, to keep weeds out of, to protect, to give that vine every chance and that branch every chance to bear good fruit. Now the Holy Spirit is not mentioned in this, you notice, only the Father and Jesus being the true vine. But I believe the Holy Spirit is very evident because the Holy Spirit is what produces the fruit. If we go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, we find the fruits of the Holy Spirit listed. They are love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness, patience, and self-control. 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit that are produced within us. Now, does the vine itself produce the fruit? No. You see, the nutrients come through the vine. or into the vine, and through the vine into the branches. And on the branches, the fruit is produced as a result of the nutrients that are coming from the true vine. And these nutrients, I believe, in this case, is the Holy Spirit himself, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So I believe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are involved in our fruit bearing. Jesus is the true vine. We're to remain in him. The Holy Spirit provides our nutrition, and it comes from the Father, the gardener. Our fruit that we bear is not our own. We need to recognize that, my friend. We can say, oh, look at the wonderful fruit that this branch has on it, and speak of it as the branch bearing this fruit. Well, the fruit is on that branch, but the fruit is not really produced by that branch. It's produced by the Holy Spirit in the branch, you see. And that's true of us as Christians, and we need to keep that in the forefront of our mind, because we as human beings, with the prideful nature that is ours, always want to claim it as our own. Oh, look what I did. Look at the fruit that I produced. Look at the fruit that I bore. And we need to remember the words of Jesus here. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now we need to stand in front of the mirror and say to ourselves, apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. We need to say that to ourselves, looking in the mirror and looking ourselves in the eye and say to ourselves and ingrain within us, apart from Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. Apart from Jesus Christ, I can do nothing. This is the truth. Oh, I can do things, but they're not worth anything. I can produce a lot of leaves on my branch, and I can look nice, but produce no fruit, no real fruit for the kingdom of God. So we need to abide in the vine, and that vine is Jesus Christ. Stay in him, for apart from him, we can do nothing. So the admonition that Jesus gives us here to abide in the vine is critical. It's so vitally important. Now, notice in this that Jesus speaks of bearing fruit in verse 2. That's our purpose. He prunes it. The Father prunes the fruit, that it may bear then more fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he, the Father, prunes that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus speaks of our bearing fruit, and then he speaks of our bearing more fruit. And down in verse 5, he says, he bears much fruit. If you abide in me and I in you, he bears much fruit. And also in verse 8, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And he speaks of our fruit remaining and staying and becoming full within us, becoming mature within us. So our purpose is to bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit, and for that fruit to remain until it's ripe. That's the point. Not fall off prematurely. The only way we can do that is by abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me take the remaining portion of my time today to speak of a contrast between fruit and works. We often confuse the two. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, by their fruit ye shall know them. He said here in Matthew chapter 7, and speaking of being the way to salvation, the narrow way, and then he speaks of the broad way that leads to destruction. And then he says, beware of the false prophets, for you shall know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree that bears good fruit, but the bad tree will bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Now notice he doesn't say you will know them by their works. He says you will know them by their fruits. Now, good works, works that are pleasing to God, come out of good fruit. The good fruit is character. The good fruit is love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control. These are God's good fruits within us that are produced by the Holy Spirit within us. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're not our own fruit. Now, we can produce things that we call works. And Jesus here in Matthew chapter 7 says that many will stand before me in that day of judgment and say, look at my good works. And Jesus will say, where's your fruit? Where's your fruit? Many will say, have we not done great things in thy name and performed many miracles in thy name and cast out demons in thy name? And Jesus says himself in verse 23, Matthew chapter 7, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. My friend, let's examine the heart. The heart displays the fruit. The fruit of righteousness. The fruit of love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and patience and self-control. These nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. We have to look to the heart to see those fruits. Now, if our works are the works of God that He's doing in us, then they will come out of these fruits. They will come out of this character that is in us. And when works come out of this kind of character, then the works are good works. The works are beneficial works. The works are of God. You see, remember, we're not to do our own thing. Just as the branch isn't to run around and do its own thing. It sits there. It abides in the vine. And the fruit is produced in it and on it. And that's the way with us, my friend. The work that our hands should be doing, the words that our voice should be speaking, are not our own, but the words and works of God. That is done in us and done through us by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord of our lives. Here's the picture. We are to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We're to be the vine, or we're to be the branch, rather, abiding in the vine. We're to be attached to the vine and stay in the vine, abide in the vine, live there in the vine. That's our purpose. That means surrendering to being a branch, surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And allowing Him to be our source, you see. Our source is the true vine that we are attached to. So we are not to be doing our own thing. Yes, we're created into good works, the Bible tells us. But it also says, for it is God who is at work in you to work and to will for His good pleasure. Oh, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart right now. To quicken in your heart and in your mind the difference between our own works and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, we're to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and allow Jesus to live in us and through us. And as Paul said, it is no longer I who live, but Jesus who lives in me and through me. And Jesus will do the work of the Father. In other words, he'll produce the fruit of righteousness. He'll produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. Remember, it's not our fruit, and they're not our works. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the works of God that need to be done in us and through us by Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is a good word for today from God's holy word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.